Amen. Thank you, church, for singing to the Lord and singing together. Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we will be there in God's Word. But I want to remind you of what we've already covered. If you'll remember back in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 30, Jesus had an encounter with a rich young ruler. And that rich young ruler, if you'll remember, he asked Jesus a very important question. He said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What we know about this rich young ruler is that he was a decent man. And by all accounts, he was a law-abiding citizen. He was what we would call in this world a good man. And he wanted to know what he could do to inherit eternal life. Now, what is sad about this encounter is that he was in the right place at the right time talking to the right person. And so Jesus responded to him, "You have done a lot of good things, but there's one thing missing." Jesus said, "You need to go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven." It wasn't really about what the rich young ruler could do to inherit eternal life. Rather, it was about what Jesus could do if the rich young ruler would only surrender to Jesus. Would only surrender to Jesus. Would only completely trust in Jesus. And what makes it a sad encounter is that the Bible tells us the rich young ruler went away sad. And what that means is that he was unwilling to get rid of the stuff. He was unwilling to let go of all of the stuff he had accumulated. He was unwilling to surrender his life to Jesus. And if you'll remember, this is what Jesus said after the rich young ruler walked away. He was talking to his disciples. He was talking to his followers. And this is what he said. He said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." And man, that sounds hard, doesn't it? It sounds tough. But with one statement, Jesus gives hope to anyone and everyone, and yes, even those who might possibly be rich. Jesus said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And that's a good word. And so what I want you to see today, what I want you to know today, and what I believe the scripture screams out loud to us today is that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Jesus is a friend of sinners. We get to say that as a good thing today, but in Jesus' day, that was actually an insult that was hurled at him by religious leaders. See, when religious leaders said Jesus is walking and talking to sinners, Jesus is meeting with sinners, they didn't say that as a good thing. They said that as an insult. In other words, look at him. Does he know who he's talking to? Does he know who he's touching? Does he know who he's sitting with? Religious leaders were insulting Jesus because he was a friend of sinners. We see it in Luke chapter 5. When Jesus calls Levi, who is also known as Matthew, to follow him, they said, "What is he doing? Does he know who that is?" And in Luke chapter 7, we see when Jesus he's basically anointed by the sinful woman. As a matter of fact, many Bibles, it says Jesus is anointed by a sinful woman. That's the title in that passage of Scripture. And when people saw that, they said, "Does Jesus know who is touching him? Does he know who she is? Does he know what she's done?" But thank God today that Jesus is in fact a friend of sinners. I thank God for that truth. But what we're going to see in Luke chapter 19 is something else. Jesus is the guest of a sinner. The guest of a sinner. Look at this with me. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, you remember where Jesus is headed, right? I told you this last week. He's headed to Jerusalem. It's been saying that all along in Luke 17 and Luke 18. Jesus was headed to Jerusalem. And we're entering the last days of Jesus' life on this earth. So it says Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. And a wee little man he was. I know you started singing that song. I know you did, because I did too. I've been singing it all week long. I was whistling it this morning at my house. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Isn't that amazing how this ties into what Jesus has already told us in Luke chapter 18? He was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, and I can identify, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, and there it is, he ran. So see, it is biblical to be a runner. Y'all pick on me all the time, but I got scripture to back it up. It says he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, we see some very important truths about Zacchaeus, and we see some very important truths about the crowd that was gathered that day, and I think we need to investigate it. First of all, look at this. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. Now, why did he want to see Jesus? I believe it's because he had heard about Jesus. I believe it was because he heard people talking about Jesus. He had heard the stories about what Jesus could do. He had probably heard some of the things that Jesus said. And what makes this amazing to me is that he was not just a tax collector, but how does Luke describe him? He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. Now, many biblical scholars, they tell us that he rose to this position not because he was a hard worker. It's because he made Rome a lot of money. He made Rome a lot of money. He took up taxes, and boy, did he take up taxes. Most theologians believe that Zacchaeus was as crooked as he could be. And that's why he was called a chief tax collector for Rome. Zacchaeus certainly was not loved by the Jews. How did they feel about tax collectors? What did they call them? Traitors. These tax collectors were Jewish, but they were doing work for Rome. Rome didn't care about them. The only thing they cared about was how much money they was making. And now their own people, the Jews, considered them traitors. They were outsiders. And so he certainly wasn't loved by the Jews. And I'm going to be honest with you. I believe it was very difficult for him probably to even walk down the street. Just walking through the streets. Can you imagine the insults that were hurled at him? Can you imagine the things that were said about him? I mean, if people had fruit stands, I could see him throwing bad fruit at him when he walks by. That's just how people act. And so the Bible says that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. This guy that was a traitor to his own people, this guy who was crooked and taking up money for Rome, he still wanted to see Jesus. How bad did he want to see Jesus? I'm going to tell you something. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus desperately. I believe he was desperate, desperate to see Jesus. How desperate was he? Well, the Bible says he was a runner. He took off running. Now, I want you to understand, these tax collectors, they made money for themselves too. And why he was wealthy is because he made money for Rome, but he also kept some for him. And Rome allowed him to do that. And being wealthy, I'm going to tell you, he probably had nice clothes. He probably dressed better than the average Jewish citizen. And so can you imagine this? He's probably got his work clothes on, and he finds out Jesus is coming through, and he's going to get to him, and it says he ran. He ran. I believe he was desperate. Not only that, he was desperate enough to act like a kid. You remember when you were a kid and climbing a tree was probably one of the coolest things ever? See, now cell phones and laptops and all that stuff, that's what they do. But I remember when I was a kid, when none of that stuff existed, I liked climbing up trees. I liked to see how high I could go. My Aunt Nancy and Uncle James used to get so mad at me because I would break so many pecan tree limbs. And they would say, hey, the big limbs. Don't go any higher. Stay on the big limbs. You don't weigh enough to break them, but those little limbs, don't get on those. Yeah, I used to love climbing trees. You know what? I don't remember the last time I climbed a tree. It certainly hadn't been as an adult. And so Zacchaeus was so desperate for Jesus that he ran through the street and he ran ahead of the crowd and he climbed up a tree. I love what Dr. Tony Evans, I love what he says about Zacchaeus. Listen to this. He said Zacchaeus' desperation caused him to do something that was below his dignity. But Zacchaeus was willing to endure any public scorn, any public shame, to see the one everyone else had been talking about. That brings me to a question for me. Hey, Jeff, how desperate are you to be where Jesus is? How desperate are you, Jeff, to be in a place where you can see Jesus? How desperate are you, Jeff, to be in a place where you can hear Jesus speak to you? How desperate? But I want you to see this because the Bible shows us this. The crowd represented a physical challenge. The crowd represented a physical challenge. And I believe this because it says that Zacchaeus was a short man and he couldn't see over the crowd. Listen, I believe Zacchaeus had so much going against him, right? He's hated by the crowd that's in the street. He's shorter than the crowd that's in the street. Think about this. Short legs makes it harder to run, right? A little bit harder to run. He's so short that he can't see over the crowd. And so he climbs. He climbs into a tree. He runs ahead of him and climbs into a tree. I'm going to tell you something. He was desperate to see Jesus, and the physical challenge that was in front of him wasn't going to stop him. I wonder how many of us cave to the challenges in this life. The challenge is too great. The challenge is too much. How many of us cave to the challenges of this life when it comes to Jesus? When it comes to the life of Jesus, the work of Jesus, the words of Jesus? How many of us are so desperate to see Jesus, so desperate to hear Jesus that we would run through any challenge? I wonder. So we learn a lot about Zacchaeus, don't we? We also learn about that crowd, and we're not done with that crowd yet. Look at this beginning in verse 5. It says, when Jesus reached the spot. Notice it doesn't say a spot. It says when Jesus reached the spot. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus don't go nowhere by accident. Jesus don't go nowhere by accident. I know Luke says as he was passing through, and it sounds like, oh, he just happened to be there. No. Jesus went through Jericho for a reason. And I believe he went to this spot for a reason. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, aren't you glad that Jesus knows your name? See, I believe that. I believe he knows my name, and I believe he knew my name before my mom and daddy gave it. He says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people, there's that crowd again. All the people saw this and began to mutter. That word mutter, just it don't even sound like a good word, does it? Mutter. I mean, it just sounds yucky. Mutter. They began to mutter. What did they mutter? He is going to be the guest of a sinner. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Don't you understand that in the book of Leviticus, it says if you do this, that you pay back a certain amount? He went double. He went beyond what the scripture said to do. He said, if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. And boy, verse 10 is the gospel. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. What a powerful, powerful verse of Scripture. What a powerful passage of Scripture. You know, we learn early on in this passage that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. But guess what? Jesus wanted to see Zacchaeus. Jesus wanted to, I don't know about you, but that blows me away. He wanted to see Zacchaeus. Luke 17, 11, right? If you go backwards, Luke 17, 11 says that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Luke 18, 31, Jesus told his disciples, we're going up to Jerusalem. And I said this last week, and I want to say it again. Jesus was actually on his way to die so that those who would surrender to him and believe in him might live. So Jesus hadn't lost sight of who he was and what he came to do. It was having that sight and having that focus that he saw Zacchaeus and called him out by name. This is incredible. He said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. That's a gospel call right there. That's a salvation call right there. That's what Jesus was talking about. It wasn't that Jesus wanted to go eat a good meal. It wasn't that Jesus wanted to go to the nice house because this man was wealthy. No, he saw a man who needed salvation. And Jesus called out to him and invited him into a relationship with himself. And boy, I love this because how did Zacchaeus respond? I believe he responded in two ways. The Bible tells us very clearly. He responded obediently and he responded gladly. Jesus said, come down out of that tree. And he says he immediately came down. And it says Zacchaeus welcomed him. Welcomed him. Gladly welcomed him. And I believe this. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad the text said Zacchaeus came down. Because if that would have been me, I probably would have fallen down. I mean, if he had called out my name, in disbelief, I think I would have fell out of that tree. But he called him by name. And not only that, Jesus could have stopped anywhere. Don't you know that? He could have stopped anywhere. He could have stopped anywhere, but he chose to go to Zacchaeus' house. He chose to go to Zacchaeus' house, knowing who Zacchaeus was in that town, knowing the shame and the ridicule and the sin. Jesus chose Zacchaeus. How did the crowd respond? We know that there was a physical challenge early, but I'm going to tell you something. I believe what this crowd represented now was a religious challenge. It was a religious challenge. See, look at the crowd's response. Look at the crowd's response to Jesus, not only speaking to Zacchaeus, but also dining with Zacchaeus at his house. He is going to be the guest of a sinner. That is a religious statement. That is like he could have picked somebody better. He could have picked somebody who was clean. He could have picked somebody who wasn't a traitor. He could have picked somebody else. That's a religious statement. And it's hurled at Jesus, and it's also ridiculing and being hurled at Zacchaeus. What they must not have realized or wanted to realize is that whoever Jesus chose to go to that day, whosever house he would have chosen to be in, whatever person he would have chosen to dine with, they still would have been in the house of a sinner. He still would have been the guest of a sinner. Do you understand that? Listen to me, Star Baptist Church, you ain't better than somebody who lives in Start, Louisiana. Just because you're a child of God, or just because, you know, you give to the church, or just because you serve on a team, that doesn't make you better than. That doesn't make, just because I'm a pastor, just because I have a position in Start Baptist Church, I'm not better than anybody else. I'm just as desperate and in need of God's grace as anybody. And if I ever lose sight of that, if I ever, ever get numb to that, woe is me. That's called pride. And that's what religion is. It's pride. It's man trying to make God out to be something. It's man trying to reach up and be godly. Religion, that's what it is. And we need to be careful, church. I don't want to be religious. I want to be humble. I want to be childlike in my faith. I want to be desperate for Jesus. What we see in this passage of Scripture is that not only did Jesus want to see Zacchaeus, Jesus wanted to save Zacchaeus. And that's a good word for you, and that's a good word for me. Notice that Jesus did not force a decision from Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is the one who responded to Jesus' invitation. And here's the thing, right? We can get caught up and say, well, didn't he work for salvation? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We don't see him working for salvation. You know what I see? I see a man who's working from salvation. Not working for salvation, not working to impress Jesus, working from salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for changing me from the inside out. Now what I want to do is I want to show you, Jesus, that I love you. And I want to show people that I ain't the man I used to be. I'm a different man. That's what I see in this passage of Scripture. This is not a works-based salvation. This is a faith-based salvation. This is a Jesus salvation. After his conversation with Jesus, what I believe is Zacchaeus is motivated by conviction. He's convicted of his sin, and he wants to make right any wrong that he has caused. This is the fruit, I believe, of repentance. This is the fruit of salvation, and that is why Jesus came. Verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Isn't that awesome? And listen, the physical challenge, it didn't stop Zacchaeus. He ran ahead. He climbed a tree. The religious challenge, when they hurled an insult at Jesus, and by hurling that insult at Jesus, they were talking about him, Zacchaeus. It says Zacchaeus stood up anyway. He stood up anyway. The insults from the crowd wasn't going to stop him from saying yes to Jesus. We could learn a lot from that today, because I believe there's a lot of people in this world who are more worried about what the world thinks of them than they are what God thinks of them. I think there's a lot of people in this world who have surrendered to man rather than surrendering to the Son of Man. A lot of people in this world are living for man rather than living under and living for the Son of Man. I love what Dr. Tony Evans said about Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus' outward actions were the testimony of an inward transformation. His outward actions were the testimony of an inward transformation. And that's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the good news, right? The good news is that Jesus is a friend of sinners. The good news is that Jesus is willing to be a guest of the sinner, regardless of the challenges that may exist. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And all we have to do is say yes to Jesus. All we have to do is humble ourselves and say yes to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I am a sinner. Yes, Jesus, I am lost without you. Yes, Jesus, I need you. Yes, Jesus, I believe in who you are and what you have done. Yes, Jesus, that's what it takes. What I see in this passage of Scripture are two incredible truths. And it's the Scripture. I can't make this up. Jesus came to find sinners. You know what that means? Jesus came looking for you and came looking for me. That's no accidental step. He doesn't just bump into you by coincidence or by accident. No, he's looking for you, looking for me. Not only that, Jesus came to save sinners. That means you and me. He intentionally came to save you and save me from our sin. What does that mean? He came to save us from the wrath of God that is poured out and will be poured out upon sin. He came to save us from that. He came to save us to life. Not just breathing in air, not just breathing out, but true living, full life, eternal life. That is what Jesus came to do. He came to seek and to save. And I'm so thankful that he knows my name. And not only does he know my name, he knows that I am a child of God because I said yes to him. How desperate are you to see Jesus? How desperate are you to be with Jesus? How desperate are you to allow Jesus to be your guest, to come in and dine with you, to come in and commune with you? How desperate. What about the challenges? What about the challenges, right? Don't let any challenge keep you from getting close to Jesus. Listen to me, it ain't worth it. It's not worth it. Don't let any challenge keep you from getting close to Jesus. Don't let any challenge slow you down. Run. Run. Don't let any challenge keep you down. Climb. I mean, be a Zacchaeus. Be a Zacchaeus. So many of us, we're so worried about what others say about us, what others say to us, that we're willing to cave in. We're willing to compromise. Are you going to compromise your faith? Are you going to compromise the one relationship that actually changes you from the inside out to pacify or satisfy someone else? So many people are. One other thing I want to say before I close is that many people will take a passage like this out of context. When the Bible says that Jesus is a friend of sinners, when the Bible says Jesus is a guest of sinners, it does not mean that he has condoned that sin. It doesn't mean that Jesus said it's okay to be sinful. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say Jesus says that it's okay to be sinful. As a matter of fact, what I have seen in the scripture over and over again is that when Jesus talks to someone and Jesus touches someone, he says this a lot: go and sin no more. It's actually the opposite. And so just because Jesus is called a friend of sinners, and just because in this passage it says Jesus is the guest of a sinner, that is not condoning the sin of Zacchaeus. That is not Jesus lowering his standards and being okay with sin. No, what it is, it's an invitation to see the scriptures and humble yourself underneath the Word of God and humble yourself to the Word of God. That's what it is. So I want you to be careful when you read a passage of scripture like this, because I think so many times, and it's that religious thing, right? Well, we're better than, I'm doing more than, at least I'm not like, I'm glad I'm not like. That sounds just like when the two people went to the temple to pray. You remember that? We just read it. Let's not be like that. Let's understand who Jesus is. He is God in flesh. He is holy. He is completely righteous. He is perfect. The one who never sinned became sin so that those of us who truly are sin could be right with God through repentance and faith. If I could sum up the gospel with three words, it would be this: Jesus loves you.